walking night and day. There'll be no turning back. They will not be destroyed by their marriages and filled with excuses. But they will bear much fruit. So fulfill your ministry before the time.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for another opportunity to hear the word of God. We pray, Lord, that your word, you breathe life into your word. I pray that your words will come alive. I pray for the Holy Spirit and for your help. And I ask, Lord, that you open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, Lord. We pray, Father, for your blessing of favor, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. All right, please be seated. And let's go straight into the message for today. Amen. Right. Now, we've been sharing about backsliding from the book Backsliding. This is a very important message, especially for the times we are in. Amen. Because as I was sharing with you the other day, one of the effects of this pandemic is that it has caused many people to backslide and has caused many believers to fall away from the normal practices that keep you alive in the Lord and that keep you fruitful in Him. Hallelujah. Which is that, like things like going to church, attending fellowship, having meetings. Do you see? Having meetings and even the effort that goes into going to a meeting. Because you see, what people go through to come to the Lord's presence also affects how they are impacted by the Lord's presence. Hallelujah. Yes, because the Bible says that if we want to find the Lord, we'll have to seek him with diligence. In other words, God notices the effort that people make when they are approaching him. God notices what it costs people for them to come to his presence. I mean, I think you and I are impressed when someone travels a long distance to come and visit us, isn't it? It's not only their physical presence that ministers, but their sacrifice to make that that physical contact possible is also respected. In fact, many times that probably even more. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. Recently, somebody came to visit me, and I was particularly touched by the fact that he drove all the way just to come and see me. Yeah. And he said to me that, I'm going to come early, and I'll check myself into a hotel until you're ready to see me. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. So he wasn't even coming to take my whole day. He just wanted a small piece of my time. And he said, I'm going to come and I'll be in some hotel somewhere. When you're ready to see me, just call me, you know, and come. I'll come down and see you. And of course, when he came down to see me, I was touched by the fact that he would come all the way and even is prepared to just hang around somewhere till I am ready to see him. Do you understand? So I'm saying that the effort that goes into approaching God is something that God notices and that God respects. Hallelujah. Now, what coronavirus has introduced into the worship of the Lord is convenience. And it has eroded completely all the sacrifice and effort that goes into seeking the Lord. And it has even gone further to degrade even the quality of whatever people do, such that, yes, I'm going to be in the service, I'm going to be online, but now not only am I going to be online, while I'm worshiping the Lord online, I'm going to be cooking, I'm going to be washing, I'm going to be cleaning, I'm going to be wiping the windows, I'll be washing my car, I'll be putting armor all on my wheels, and I'll be doing everything else that can be done while I have God just speaking to me in the background, and occasionally I'll listen to him when I feel like it. Do you see what I'm saying? So not only are we not making that effort anymore to go forward or to make the sacrifice to go into his presence, but now even what we were doing, which is like sitting behind a computer, you know, which is the easiest thing anybody can do. Now you can be in church anywhere, isn't it? All you need is a link. And with a link, you are in the service. But even with that, I mean, for people to get up out of their beds, just fix your hair and face a little bit so you can be seen, even that is too much for people now. It's too much. I want to serve the Lord, and I don't mind being in the service if God doesn't mind me showing my face, you know, the way it is. But I don't want anybody to see my face, or I don't want God to see my face. So a little effort to do something. So you see, the quality of serving God and the sacrifices we make has dropped so low. And all these internet Zoom experiences are not impacting us as much as they could have. Yes. And I know that it's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same as being physically present in the church. That is why we have to keep pressing. That's why we have to keep encouraging people. Don't be deceived by the fact that you can watch the thing on Zoom. You need to be in the Lord's presence physically, because the distractions are too many. I mean, let's tell the truth. When you're by yourself, the distractions are a lot. In church, none of you is thinking of frying an egg as I'm preaching. Even if you want to, you can't fry an egg. In spite of there being a kitchen right here, Pastor Charles, nobody can go there to fry any egg as we are here. Jean-Jacques will pull you right out. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. So the preparation that goes into presenting yourself before the Lord's presence, you know, all adds to the quality of the experience. And God respects the diligence. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, he says, "You will seek me and find me when you search diligently with all your heart." Hallelujah. He says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." So God respects effort. God respects not just the searching, but the effort that goes into searching is something that thank you. One of the things about God is that the Bible says he's a God who hides himself. That's why it takes searching to find him. Do you understand? He's a God who hides himself. Even you cannot always be found. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So there's another verse that says, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Then it says, "Call upon him while he's near." So God, there are moments and there are times and seasons where it is easier to find and relate and connect to God than at other times. It's just like that. There are times when it's easier to find you. Is it not true? Yes. And then there are other times you exist. You just can't be found. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You are not dead. You are around. But you can't easily be found. Hallelujah. And so we need, that's the verse, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Amen. So we need to put in that effort to seek the Lord so that we can connect properly to him. Can I have an amen? Now, I'm saying all of this to say that the pandemic has brought a lot of backsliding to believers. And we all need to wake up and realize the state we are in. Do you see? And take steps to go in the opposite direction. Hallelujah. So that's why a message like backsliding becomes very crucial. Amen. So if you don't have this book, I want to encourage you to get it. Make sure you have your own copy of this little book, Backsliding, and join us as we go through some of the chapters. Amen. Now, last time we're talking about the causes of backsliding. I think that was from chapter 3. And we talked about shallowness as being one of the causes of backsliding, that people are shallow. And that's one of the reasons why people backslide. Another reason why people backslide is emptiness, right? Emptiness. They are empty. That also causes us to backslide. And of course, you see, when you are listening to messages, for example, or listening to preaching, and you are able to watch a movie, at the same time. Why? Because it's happening in your house. Do you understand? Yes. So the main activity is probably on the bigger screen. So some people put church on the phone, which is the smaller screen, the one that's harder to see. You see, yeah. And then on your iPad or on your laptop or on your big screen television, you have Arsenal versus Manchester United going, because that is what is important to you. Do you see? Yeah. Or Squid Games. Yeah. I found out in the last few days that the main thing going on now is Squid Games. Yeah. And I didn't know all of that was going on. Yeah. And today I saw something. It said, you know, somebody had made something about what if there were black people in Squid Games. They were trying to laugh at us. And they said the first game would be basketball. So they are laughing at us. Do you see? But people are watching Squid Games while the service is going on, and the pastor thinks he's preaching powerfully. You see, but only a very little part of everything that is being offered is actually going into people. And that's one of the reasons why people are empty even after receiving so much preaching and being exposed to so much preaching. I mean, we have become more distracted now than ever before. The things that compete for our attention have just multiplied. And the devil knows that if you can distract people, you influence greatly how much they can receive. And since what happens depends on what is in the person, if you can keep that low, the person is never able to go far. Are you getting it? The person is never able to go far. So believers need to launch a counter attack on emptiness. Do you understand? By taking a decision to fill yourself with the Word of God, to pay undivided attention to the Word of God. We must be able to sit through preaching without having to move. Yes. How long is preaching? When you get on the plane, don't you sit down for 2 hours and 3 hours without getting up? We sit on the plane for 10 hours. Last time when I went to Ghana, it's not a great thing to do, especially as you grow older, it's better to get up and walk around and so on. But the thing was that we're all afraid of coronavirus. In case you start walking and you meet it in the aisle somewhere, you might not be happy. Yeah. So the whole point was, you know, as I'm on this plane... And as upon my sanctified seat, because before I sat down on that seat, I sanctified it thoroughly, both with prayer and with wet ones. So I knew that the place was sanctified for my use. So I wasn't going to get up for somebody to come and pass, and then, so, you know, it wasn't happening at all. Do you see? But what I'm saying is that we are all capable of paying attention, undivided attention, when we need to. And it is only when we come to engage God that we get jittery. Do you see? We get restless. And there's always something to distract us. There's something we must do. There's something we must engage. That's when our computer must get busy. We must be doing something. I mean, think about it. When was the last time that it was just you and God without trying to get something else done while you're with God? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, without trying to get something else done, maybe some work done while you are praying or while you are with the Lord. I mean, these days, like when you sit down to do something with the Lord, by all means, something else has to be done. Then why don't we even just reduce the time we spend with the Lord so we can make it short but quality time? What about that? I'm sure God would prefer that. Because I'm sure you would prefer that someone would give you 10 minutes of undivided attention than 1 hour while they're talking to somebody else or while they're looking at their phone and telling you, I'm listening, I'm listening. Yeah. And what is the effect? You see that we are backsliding. Our relationship with God is now so shallow. It's not deep. It's not intense anymore. Emptiness. It causes people to backslide. Hallelujah. Another one is lust, right? Demas backslid because he loved the present world. He was in church, but he loved worldliness and loved the world. He loved the things in the world. He always missed the things in the world. The time he spent on worldly things, you know. If you look at the time people spend watching the Squid Games, because each one is how long? One hour. Yeah, each one is 1 hour. And the thing is that when you watch one, you want to watch the next one. I don't know when we became so excited about people dying. Do you see? But the time seems to be available for that. It's just not available for praying in tongues. It's not available for listening to messages. It's not available for reading a book that will build your spirit. Do you understand? See, there's no magic to our backsliding. Don't you see it? It's right there. The explanation is right there. Something else has taken over. And that thing is replacing God in us. And I wish it was even something about God, but rather something that glorifies murder and killing of people. That's what we're excited about. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas loved anything associated with the world. Modern trends, worldly trends, you know, things that were going on with people. You know, what's everybody doing? Where's everybody going? What is the latest movie? What are the latest trends in clothing? That's Demas. He loved the world. And the result eventually is that he forsook the apostle. Apostle Paul couldn't see him in church anymore. You'd go to the service and Demas will come. He usually comes late, but he'll come. And then before they know it, the service is ending. Demas is not there. You call Demas and Demas will explain, give some excuse. I was busy. But you can tell when someone's love is waxing cold. When something is changing in people, then things that didn't matter before, they start to matter. And all those things moved from the rear to the front, and they become excuses and reasons why they can't come and serve or worship the Lord. Hallelujah. So there are others like bitterness, you know, which has to do with backsliding because of offense. And then there are some others, sinfulness and so on. But today I want to talk for a minute or two about symptoms of backsliding. So I'm going straight to chapter number 6 or chapter 5. chapter number 5, symptoms of backsliding, right? Symptoms of backsliding. How can we tell that we are in the state of backsliding, right? Because there are some things that you can't easily tell by looking on the outside. The reality is that your soul or your spirit is a spiritual part of you, and you cannot tell just on the outside easily the state of your spiritual part or the spiritual person that you are. Hallelujah. And so that is the reason why we go for signs and symptoms. Doctors use signs and symptoms always to determine serious internal conditions that no one can see. As a person is walking, you may not see that maybe his liver has a problem or some other organ in his body is having a problem. But people who have been trained in signs and symptoms, like doctors, they are able to tell. They can look, and that's the only thing they can do, because you can't just catch people always and cut them up and see the condition of their liver. And then, oh, your liver is good, then they sew you up and they just... Do you see what I'm saying? There's got to be a way. In fact, when you think about it, you see God is very clever. And he has connected everything inside to something outside. So that we can know what is inside by looking on the outside. Something on the outside tells us the condition of things inside. Because otherwise, I tell you, all of us will have lots of scars. Because every time we need to go for checkup, they have to cut. So when you say, I'm going for my routine physical, it means you are going for several operations. They make one incision here to check your heart to see if your arteries are okay and everything here, not everything, no problem. They stitch it up. Then they come down here to check your kidneys, and they cut. They'll just keep cutting. And every year you have to go and take about 3 or 4 of these cuts just to check things out. Hallelujah. So just like doctors use symptoms on the outside to read what is on the inside, we also need to use symptoms on the outside to read the condition of the inner part of us, which is our soul and our spirit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so the signs and symptoms tell us what is going on the inside. Hallelujah. So the first one, the first symptom or the first sign that a person is backsliding is when you see bad company around them. When you see what? Bad company around them. In other words, a Christian who keeps bad company, or a Christian who is comfortable with bad company, is a Christian who is in reverse gear. A Christian who is starting to go back. Bad company. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Right? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, do you have the RSV, the Revised Standard Version of the Bible? The Revised Standard Version. It says, bad company ruins good morals. Bad company ruins good morals. Hallelujah. Now, as Christians, when we find ourselves hanging out with non-believers and being very comfortable around such people, it is a sign and a revelation of our spiritual state that we are beginning to backslide. We are on a path that will eventually lead us out of the presence of God and out of the company of believers. It says, do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. Evil associations, evil companionships, evil communion, interaction, relating with unbelievers and relating with people who don't share the same faith, people who don't believe the things you believe, people who have a different value system from you, will corrupt. It says it eventually causes people to lose their good morals and their character. That is backsliding. Hallelujah. The people we hang out with, they affect us. They affect us. Yes. Our friends affect us far more than our pastors or even our church. That's the reality. Because how much time do we spend in church? It's just a short time on Sunday mornings. Do you understand? Yes. The rest of church is on Zoom with other things. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. So we are affected by the company we keep, whether we like it or not. And the Bible says, be not deceived, because a lot of people are deceived. You see, when the Bible says something, says don't do this or beware of this, it's a sign or it is a message that it's something that commonly happens. And it says there is a deception involved, that he's just a colleague at work, or he's just my classmate at school, or we just do this together, or we just live together in the same apartment complex, or whatever the basis for getting together is. People do not realize that this constant interaction with somebody who is not spiritual, someone who does not love the things you love, someone who does not respect the things you respect, someone who does not enjoy the things you enjoy, you know, to be with them, you have to unplug from those things. You have to disconnect from the things that you value in order to be able to relate with that person. The Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? So we need to evaluate again the people we even call our friends. Because the fact that you as a believer can relate comfortably with this person and even call some of them my best friend. Some people say, that's my best friend. Your best friend, and your best friend does not go to church. Your best friend is not a believer, and they are still able to be your best friend. It's a sign that something is seriously wrong. Hallelujah. Not that you want to be unfriendly, but the thing is that you don't agree. It says two cannot walk together unless they agree. My values are not your values. You want to hang out, you want to talk about girls all day, and I want to talk about worship. I want to talk about souls. I want to talk about church. Church planting. How to let the church bounce back. How to grow the church. That's what my interest is. And you want to talk about girls. Do you see what I'm saying? And you realize that because of that, we cannot walk together for a long time. We cannot relate for a long time. Two cannot walk together unless they agree. So the fact that, we see, we are talking about symptoms. So if you ask somebody, are you backsliding? What do you think they'll tell you? No, I'm not backsliding. And they will defend themselves and they'll say to you, why are you judging me? Yes? One of the common Christian defenses is to accuse you of judging them. Christians defend themselves by accusing other Christians of judging them. You try to advise somebody and you try to encourage somebody and say, why are you judging me? Do you see? So we are not even allowed to say what it is anymore. We are not even allowed to, you know, tell somebody that what you are doing amounts to this. This is what you are doing. So you are judging me. Why are you judging me? And because we also know that the scripture says, judge not. I don't know if we even know where it is. Do you know where it says in the Bible, judge not? Yeah? Even those who say, don't judge me, don't know where it is in the Bible that they are not supposed to be judged. They just feel that it's not the right thing to be judging somebody. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not this one. It's not this one. I think it's in Matthew chapter 7. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we need to be careful because people would not admit, even you would not admit that you're backsliding. But your bad company that you keep gives you away. It is a sign that your heart is not where it used to be. And the fact that you are comfortable in the company of non-believers who do not share your values means that you have started to compromise in your values. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why you fit there. You fit there because you have more in common. There are more things you can chat about. There are more things you can relate about. There's more commonality between you and the non-believer. That's why you fit there. If you didn't fit there, you wouldn't last there. Hallelujah. So if you're lasting there for a long time, it's a sign that you have started to fall back. You started to backslide. Hallelujah. And you need to do something about that. You should not stay. The Bible says, blessed, Psalm 1 and verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Right? So it means if you are doing any of these three things, you are not a blessed person. Amen. You are not a blessed person. It says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if you are walking in the counsel of ungodly, if non-believing ungodly people have now become your counselors, then you are walking away from the blessing. It says, blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners. In the way of sinners means a place where sinners are commonly found. Do you understand? Yes. A way of sinners means sinners pass there a lot. It means sinners use that route a lot. Sinners are not hard to find in that pathway. Amen. Standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. Keeping company with people who mock and laugh at godliness, churches, pastors, people who criticize pastors, people who make a mockery of the service of the Lord, is not a good place to be. It takes you out of the state of being blessed. Hallelujah. So you can see that a true believer cannot comfortably relate with bad company. So our bad company is a sign that we are backsliding. But I see you coming out of that place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. The second one is looking backwards. Looking backwards is another sign that we are backsliding. Looking backwards. And the example of looking backwards is the story of Lot in Genesis chapter 19. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 17, an angel told Lot that escape for your life and don't look behind thee. Look at it. It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. He said, escape for your life. Everybody say, escape for your life. Yes. Sometimes you need to take certain steps in order to save your Christian life. Hallelujah. You need to take certain steps forward. Escape for your life. So the angel told Lot, escape for your life and do not look behind you. That means the things you have left behind, don't look longingly behind you, wishing you had those things again. One of the signs that someone is backsliding is when the person starts to recount sometimes past experiences. When they start to reminisce and they start to talk about times they have had. Good times. Yeah. The good old times. Yeah. When they're by themselves, they just remember when they used to dance a certain way and then they just try one or two of the moves just to see if it's still there, you know, if they've still got it. And then when they see somebody coming, they just raise a worship song. I worship you. Hallelujah. He said, escape for your life. Your life is in danger when you start to look behind you. You know, the story is told of a lady who was sharing a testimony, and she was talking about when she used to be a non-believer, and she talked for a long time about being a non-believer, the things she did, the places she went to, you know, who she went with, you know, and she was just talking and talking, you know. And so people are just wondering, where is she going with this? And then she says, and then I got saved. So it's like the bad thing that happened to her is that she got saved. Salvation is the unfortunate thing that happened to her. Because as she was telling her story, everybody was just thinking, where is she going with this? And she was just going up and up and up. Then I got saved. Salvation is a deliverance. Amen. It is not an unfortunate thing that happens to someone. Salvation is not the thing that ends your joy. Hallelujah. Salvation is not the bad thing that happened to you. It's not called salvation for nothing. Do you see what I'm saying? When someone gives their lives to Christ, we say they are saved. You are saved because you are really saved. It's an escape. It's a rescue. You have been delivered. You've been delivered ultimately from hell. But before it becomes even a matter of heaven and hell, you are delivered from so many things right here on earth just by being saved. It applies more when you apply it to little children or young people. You see it even more clearly. That when someone is saved, let's say at the age of 7 or 8 or 9, it makes so much sense when you say they are saved. Because you can see the things that they are about to go through when they start being teenagers, when they start from 11, from 12, 13, where they now have access to so many evils, so many things that can ruin and destroy their lives even before their brains can catch up. See, there are some sins you can avoid with common sense. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, common sense can save you from some sins also. You know, like if somebody would tell you that if you were to smoke, you can catch cancer or you can get sick from smoking. If you can believe it, you know, common sense will just save you from cancer through smoking. If you can believe it. Do you see? Yeah. If you can believe it, common sense can save you from that. But what happens with younger people is that often the brain itself is also not mature. Ideally, it should have been that as your brain matures, then these things come up and you are able to use even common sense to escape some of them. But what these days, people are having access to these things when the brain has not even matured enough to be able to catch up with it, dealing with them. So when someone, a young person, starts to go to church and begins to hear the word of God, begins to know what is a sin, begins to know not to indulge in certain things, they start being told very early that this is wrong, this is not right, this is against the word of God, and they start to avoid those things. When a young person starts to avoid those things early, it is a salvation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So for many people, and many young people especially, salvation is literal. I mean, you are literally saved. You are saved. Saved from ruining your life. Saved from fornication. Saved from abortions. Saved from adultery. Saved from all kinds of things. Just because you got saved. Amen. So it is not something to recount with regret. Do you see? And start to say that, you know, I was having a good time until I got saved. No. You were actually saved, means what you were calling a good time was just a dance on the road to hell. You were just dancing away into your destruction. God's mercy is what has saved you and has rescued you from a path of certain destruction. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. One time when we went to this juvenile detention center, you know, to have outreach, I was surprised at how many young people are already incarcerated before they are even teenagers. Yeah, very young people, and they're already there. They've started their lives in these places, living a very wild life. And only Jesus makes a difference. Hallelujah. That's why we must bring young people to church. Yes, we must bring young people to church. Amen. If you have a relative or a friend who doesn't go to church, you ask them, can I borrow your child and take them to church? Yes. But if you know any young person anywhere who will follow you, if they'll follow you for ice cream, then let them follow you to church also. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. If you invite them to come along for ice cream and they'll come, then invite them to come along with you for a service. Maybe you can tag that with an ice cream trip after the service. You get it? They may sit here all day just looking forward to the ice cream part of the outing. But that exposure to the Word of God very early will save them. Amen. It will save a young person. It will save, it will rescue, it will deliver a young person from the hands of the enemy. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then the last one for today is overconfidence. Yes. Overconfidence is the third symptom of backsliding. It is the third sign that someone is in bad shape and that that person is in danger of completely backsliding. Hallelujah. Yes. Overconfidence. That means being too confident as a Christian can also put you at risk. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, the Bible says, Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. Do you have another version? Can you put up another version if you have any other version? And let's see what it says. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. Let's read it together, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. If you think you are standing strong, be careful. One more time. If you think you are standing strong, be careful. Say it again. Read it out loudly. So, in fact, everybody just stand up. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet and let's read this together. If you think, 1, 2, 3, go. If you think you are standing
strong,
one more time. If you think you are standing, be careful not to fall. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. It says, if you think you are standing strong, then what?
Be careful not to fall.
Amen. It is dangerous to be an overconfident Christian. Amen. Yes. Being too confident in your righteousness and being too confident in your holiness can attract a lot of demonic pressure on you that will cause you to fall. Hallelujah. When you have a Christian who is no longer afraid of sin, and there are some Christians who tempt the devil, and they place themselves above sin and above falling and take all kinds of risks only to end up falling. Just like I heard about the other day, I saw a short clip about a number of people who have died from COVID after saying that there's no COVID or that they can't catch the virus. Yeah. And they're called anti-vaxxers, and they were, you know, preaching against taking the vaccine and all that, and they are dead. Not sick, dead. You know, and as I watched the clip, it was just a short thing, but there was a whole lot of them. And as I watched it, I felt really sad. You know, I felt that, you know, if the alternative really, if the risk is dying, then maybe taking the vaccine is worth it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because it's the same fear you have. You're afraid of dying by not taking it. And taking it puts you at risk of dying. But not taking it, it's also making you die. Then you might as well take it and have a chance to live. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And you find people tempting the devil and giving the devil a chance by being too confident You are too sure of yourself as a Christian that you place yourself at risk. And you find people being so sure of themselves, they no longer read their Bibles anymore. They no longer pray as Christians. They don't have a quiet time anymore. Because you are just too confident in yourself. And you feel like, oh, the devil can, he can have others, but not you. But as a Christian, you must always be afraid of backsliding. Always be watchful not to backslide. Because you can fall from any height. In fact, the higher you go, the more careful you must be. Because you are at greater risk of falling. You see, and your fall will be more significant the higher you are or the higher you go. I mean, if you fall off this seat you are sitting on right now, it won't be such a big deal. You quickly get up and no one will even know you fell. But if you fall from the top of this building, everybody is going to know about it. Because the ambulance will come along. Do you see? Yeah. So don't be too confident. The devil laughs at Christians, and he loves Christians who are too confident in their faith. He loves it when Christians say he's not there, when he's there. He loves it when people say, oh, this is not a demon, this is just this or that. He loves it when people don't want at all that he may be involved in some matter. He loves it when people downplay things and people water down things and when people take things for granted and people say there's nothing to it, it's not a big deal, it won't do anything, it won't change anything. The devil loves to hear Christians talk like that because he knows that in there lies his opportunity. Hallelujah. So we need to be careful because wherever we think we are strongest is also where we are likely to be weakest. That is why the scripture says, if you think you are standing, then you in particular must be careful not to fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. That is a special instruction to people who think they are standing. Ask your neighbor, are you one of those who thinks you are standing? What did they say? Yeah. He said, this is a special instruction to those who think they are standing. If you think you are standing, he says, watch out. You in particular, you need to be careful lest you fall. All the attacks are directed towards those who think they are standing. And we need to be careful. Hallelujah. Well, that is all time will allow us to share today. Amen. We'll continue next week. Amen. So stand to your feet and tell somebody, I know that I need to watch out because I am not above backsliding. Hallelujah. Now I want you to pray, take a few minutes and pray and ask the Lord, just say, Lord, please help me. I want to stand strong in you, not only today, but also tomorrow and next year. Next year, by this time, I want to be in the faith and I want to remain in you. Yes. Everybody just pray. Just pray, everybody, and say, Lord, please save me and keep me from backsliding. Yes. Save me and keep me. Lighting. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Pray, everybody, just pray and say, Lord, I realize I'm not above it. I can backslide. I can backslide at any Because backsliding can happen to anyone at any level, from any height. Because backsliding is relative to where you used to be, you know. Backsliding is not just doing what others are doing, but it is a change in your life relative to where you used to be or who you used to be. And when we go by that standard, you realize that many of us are backsliding in the Lord. We are backsliding already, but we are deceived by comparing ourselves to others, and that keeps us from recognizing our true state. Maybe you used to wake up in the morning to pray, but you don't do so anymore. You used to listen to messages and you don't do that anymore. But because you still come to church, you are satisfied and you feel like, no, you are not backslidden, because at least you will be in church. But yes, you are in church, but you are backslidden. Your heart has fallen far away from the Lord. God wants to help you and God wants to restore you. A certain interest, a certain burning interest that you had in the things of God, you don't have it anymore. It's not there anymore. It's not there anymore. Everybody pray and say, Lord, heal my backsliding, my overconfidence, Lord. Yes, being too confident in myself. Yes, heal me in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Miko Sokotoria Babaya Banababaya, Mishoko Falamamaya, Doro Saka Falabasha Kataria Babaya. Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, heal our backsliding, Lord, in Jesus' name. You alone are holy.
Alone are worthy.
Oh, you deserve the glory. Jesus, you Jesus, you alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just give the Lord a worship. Just worship Him. And just say, Lord, thank you for speaking to me about being careful. I need to watch. I know. I need to be careful. I need to watch out that I do not fall from where you have placed me by your grace. I know that it is by your power, it is by your grace, it is not by any strength of my own, but it is by the power and the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the warning and for the instruction. Yes. You deserve the glory, Jesus, you alone. Hallelujah. As we close the service this afternoon, maybe you're here or you're watching us online, but you know in your heart that you are not saved, or that you're backsliding, you're falling away from the Lord. The things you used to enjoy don't please you anymore. The things that used to excite you in Him don't excite you anymore. Church meetings, reading the Bible, praying, all these things now feel more like a chore, like things you have to do. But the joy in doing them has left them. It's not the same anymore. You don't feel that inner satisfaction and inner gratification from pursuing God like you used to. The same things feel very dry to you. Dear friend, it is a reflection of your state. You know, people lose appetite for things. The same food, but you see that you don't feel like eating it, or you don't enjoy it anymore. It is often not because of the food, but it is because you are sick. You don't feel well. When you don't feel well, the same things you used to be excited about don't excite you anymore. It's not because the thing has changed, but because you have changed. But today God wants to heal you. God wants to help you. And I want you to just pray with me. Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I recognize where I'm falling from.
I recognize where I'm falling from.
And I know that I need you.
And I know that I need you.
So today I return to you.
So today I return to you.
I am retracing my steps back to you.
I am retracing my steps back to you.
Please restore unto me.
Please restore unto me.
The joy of serving you.
The joy.
The excitement of following you.
Excitement of following you.
Take me out of this dry place.
Out of this dry place.
And restore my fellowship with you.
Restore my fellowship with you.
Put the life back in me, Lord.
Put the life back into me.
Revive my spirit.
Revive my spirit.
Cause me to come alive again.
Cause me to live again.
Breathe your life into me.
Breathe your life into me.
And cause me to come alive again.
Cause me to come alive again.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer. Now let me pray for you. Father, we are learning this afternoon that right in your house, when we seem to be busy moving up and down, our hearts could be very far from you. Because in the Bible you say that there are people who draw near you with their lips, but their hearts are far away from you. Their hearts are backslidden and gone after other things. And such is our state this afternoon. But we come to you because you have sent your word to us. You sent forth your word and you healed your people and delivered them from their destructions. So we receive your word today, Lord. Deliver us from the mechanical motions that go with serving you. And revive that service that comes from deep within. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Bring back those days of refreshing, when the times in your presence were times we longed for, when we couldn't wait till we got into your presence, when we couldn't have enough of you. Bring back those days, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Return us to that place. Return us to that place. Return us to that place, Lord, where we were excited about things that pertain to you, where going home was so difficult for us because we longed to be in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray for anyone who is not saved. I ask, Lord, that you will save them. Save them. Save them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Amen.